I'm back.
Oh, no.
So am I, for that matter.
Yes, Claudia and I are back. This is John Paul's Truth Quest and Variety Hour, which is the 11 o'clock hour here at WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your community radio station, the 100-watt wonder.
That's right.
And we just had a wonderful show with Triangle Youth Ballet and the Prometheus Poets. Easy enough for me to say.
Prometheus Bound Poets. By the way, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Yes, happy St. Pat's Day. And with the last name of McClellan, I can say that with real fortitude.
Some authority you think you have.
Oh, for sure. I can say that with real authority.
Now you sound like a leprechaun.
Oh, for sure. Well, I'm going to read you a piece that I wrote for a commentary on WCHL Radio. And I want to give creds to WCHL Radio because they do this thing called the commentators, where they just allow anybody in the community to come on the radio station for 90 seconds and say what they want to say.
Anybody?
Anybody, even me.
Even I could go.
Even you could do it. They do want you to have some kind of a local tie-in, but it's really easy to produce a local tie-in because, let's face it, all politics is local.
Yes.
And the people do come up with many different topics, societal, local topics, political, organizational, community-oriented things. I tend to gravitate toward the more national and international topics, and then I look at what it is in the local area that I'm interested in having happen. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read this commentary that I wrote, and it'll be on the air at WCHL tomorrow morning, and they probably replay it a couple of times, and then tomorrow afternoon they'll replay it once or twice.
It'll also be in your archives here at WCOM.
Yes, since I'm reading it on the air
now. Since you're doing
it
now, exactly.
Yes. And you'll also be able to go on to the WCHL website and find it and be able to play it back once they archive it there. They don't get their archives up immediately, but before too long, it'll be up there where anybody can listen to it. And so this is the commentary that I recorded yesterday and will play on the air tomorrow.
What, may I ask, is the premise?
Well, you're going to hear that in just a moment.
I see.
Oh, no, you can't hardly wait.
No.
So here goes. This is John Paul McClellan. I want the people of Chapel Hill to hear the truth. The truth that we are not getting from any major media sources. The Osgood file from CBS Radio is a perfect example. Of course, WCHL has no responsibility for the content of the Osgood file. And neither does WCOM, by the way.
That's right.
In a recent statement in a commercial on the Osgood file, David Harris said that Iran has enough nuclear material to make a nuclear weapon. That is a lie, and Charles Osgood certainly must know that. Yet he allowed David Harris to tell that lie on his broadcast. Why? Is he afraid of losing the revenue? David Harris is deliberately lying to his audience in order to gin up a war against Iran, just like was done to Iraq. Just remember the lies that were told about Iraq's nuclear weapons program. Iraq had no nuclear weapons program. The International Atomic Energy Commission just issued a report stating very clearly that their inspectors show Iran has no bomb-making material. None. And they do not have the capability to produce any weapons-grade material. This has been confirmed by Scott Ritter, former head of the UN inspectors in Iraq, the U.S. National Intelligence Director here in the United States, Dennis Blair, and the Secretary of Defense in the United States, Robert Gates. They said the same thing last week. As did the official United States National Intelligence Estimate. I want the people listening to this radio station to know the truth, and I want Barack Obama to speak the truth. Iran has no nuclear weapons program, and anyone who says they do, including David Harris, is a liar. This is John Paul McClellan.
Bravo.
Thank you. That's what I said on WCHL News on their commentary, which we'll play tomorrow.
They're obviously trying to see if America's still asleep enough at the wheel for them to pass another one by on us.
Well, and they've been doing this for quite some time. They've been ginning up this whole furor over Iran's supposed development of nuclear weapons mm-hmm. for a very long time, and Iran has never had the capability to develop nuclear weapons. I'll go into a little detail about what Scott Ritter taught us all about that in a minute. Claudio?
Let me just ask one thing. Is that the mission that George Bush is presently today, this very day, going to Canada with? What hype is he selling this time? I hope they arrest him.
I don't know what he's doing in Canada. He is going to Calgary, and I can't remember what reason.
To promote some sort of political agenda. Well,
he's always doing that. I think it might be more oriented toward trying to raise the $300 million he wants to get to put up his George Bush library.
Good Lord, what's he going to put in the thing?
Lies. It's going to be a huge building filled with lies.
The truth certainly wouldn't make him look good at all.
Self-aggrandizing lies is what it's going to be.
Or maybe they'll have his grandfather who supported the Nazi system in there as well.
I'm sure they'll glorify the heck out of him as well. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, not surprising because, I mean, just look at the way George Bush behaved. He comes by it honestly with his grandfather having been a major supporter of the Hitler
regime. The Third Reich.
That's right. And, in fact, without the help of Prescott Bush, Averell Harriman, I don't know, the Dulleses, a whole group of people from that period of time, the IBM, mm-hmm. Henry Ford, I mean, you just go. It goes on and on. Those are the people who made the Hitler Nazi regime possible. If they had not put huge amounts of money and effort into it, it wouldn't have happened.
They were fully convinced that it was going to result in the world domination they were looking for, and that they are still looking for by dominating our current financial system.
And by trying to bring about the New World Order.
Absolutely.
Which you can remember hearing George H.W. Bush, the father, President 42, talk about back in the 80s.
Part of the CIA when they assassinated Kennedy.
Yeah. In fact, he was.
The head of the CIA, wasn't he at the time?
No, he wasn't.
Or was he just part
of it? He wasn't the head of the CIA. He claimed that he never was involved with the CIA before he was.
Ha, ha.
But he was. He was actually part of the CIA Bay of Pigs operation starting in 1959. And Felix Rodriguez, who was one of Batista's top security guys, testified before Congress that he worked with George Bush in 1959.
Yes. You can find this on the internet, folks, in case you're doubting.
And he met George Bush in 1959 in the operation of the Bay of Pigs training system, mm-hmm. which George Bush was very instrumental in.
Which was another 9/11 type setup they were going to sell us on.
That's right. And that was not the only thing that they were doing.
No, I know that.
But it certainly was one of the big ones. So what you have is a long history of the Bush family being involved in these fascist type of efforts. Now, remember, there was a reason why they were involved in this. It was money. The Bush family made a great deal of their fortune from the slave labor of Nazi concentration camps. They actually had factories close to Auschwitz, and they conscripted labor from Auschwitz to go and work in these factories that built the Nazi war machine. All this happened from before the war all the way through the end of the war. These guys were using this Nazi concentration camp as a source of labor.
And you can look this up, folks.
And they made hundreds of millions of dollars on these poor people who were in these concentration camps. And they were Jews, they were communists, they were gypsies, they were homosexuals, they were anybody that the Nazi regime did not like.
Yes,
basically.
Exactly.
Anything.
You didn't have to be a Jew.
You didn't have to be a Jew. You could be any kind of political stripe other than the one they wanted you to
be. And they hated poverty, so if you were a poor bugger on the street, there wasn't much hope for you.
Yeah, it was a horrible situation, and that's where the Bushes got a lot of their money.
From, still from, using it today.
Doing that. They're still living off of it. And, of course, they're also very tied in with the military-industrial complex to this day. So they made huge amounts of money on the Iraq War.
And the one thing that Bush Sr. espoused many, many times, trying to see if he could get a jingle going on it during his involvement in during his presidency, was the New World Order, which they're still trying to sell us. That's why they've got this economic collapse that we're looking at day by day.
Right, which was no accident, by the way. It's all engineered. It was all put together by the corporate elite, and they are the ones who are reaping the harvest off of it right now, while they pay huge bonuses to the people who were in the slightly lower ranks who really made it all happen.
Why are these billions not being shared with the people, with the average Joe that needs it and that would actually create a flow of currency? It's given to the fat cats that crashed the plane.
That's right. And if they had actually, instead of giving it to the fat cats, if they had just saved the homeowners, that money would have gone into these lending companies, these mortgage companies, these banks, mm-hmm. and it would have saved them too.
Right.
So, but they didn't want to save the homeowners, because if they saved the homeowners, then the banks would not then own the property.
Plus, part of their plan, exactly, going into what you're saying, they're going to make a big real estate grab when this is all over.
Right, they're making it, they're already making it. That could, mm-hmm. because as the homes default, they go to the banks.
Right.
So not only do the banks get bailed out by the government for these bad loans, they also get the property.
Right.
Whereas if they had instead just saved the homeowners, given them the money to pay for the property, the homeowners could have kept the property. That would have been wealth that would be accumulated to individuals in the country, citizens, that would have built the wealth of the country from the bottom up.
Absolutely.
And they don't want that.
Should be derived from.
You can't have wealth building from the bottom up if you're going to have this elite hierarchy of wealthy people. And they're the ones who are in charge, and that's why things are being done the way they are. And Barack Obama is part
of
it.
He's playing into it, absolutely.
He's not just playing into it, he's part of it.
The thing that gets me about Barack Obama is, why are we giving accolades to this man that has just taken office? He's done nothing to prove anything, and yet we're treating him like he's some fantastic hope for the future, and he has yet to do a single thing that convinces me that he's not part of the Federal Reserve that put everybody else in office.
Well, he has done a few good things.
He is making some strides, but I wonder if that's not just a blind focus.
I think that's he has to do that in order to maintain the facade. The few good things that he's done are he has abandoned signing statements. He has said none of the George Bush signing statements mean anything. They're not
one of the few things he's taken out of the George Bush realm.
One of the few things he's done, but he has done that. He has abandoned the ban on stem cell research, which I think is very good.
Yes.
Very important. I'm glad that he did that. He has he claims that he's going to close down Guantanamo. And while that looks good, I'm afraid it's really not.
It's
very
not being
much.
Done.
It's not being done. It doesn't make any difference. He still maintains the same attitude that George Bush does, which is that he has the power to detain anybody for any reason on his own word, no matter where, anywhere in the world. And that they have no constitutional rights. He claims that constitutional rights do not belong to any people that he decides to detain. And he said that in court last week. His Justice Department argued that in court last week.
So we still have the just us system instead of the justice system.
We do. And these are huge violations of the Constitution. The Constitution, nowhere in the Constitution does it say that the Constitution only applies to citizens of the United States.
No, it does not.
It does not say that. It says it applies to people.
Yes.
And according to the now Obama Justice Department, those who they take under detention are not persons. That's what they said. That's what they told the court. These are not persons.
So we are not getting a change, folks.
This is not change.
Just a different shade.
This is not. It's hardly even a different shade. It's just a different label. And like you said, he's rebranding the Bush policies.
The politicians all like the fact that Bush put so much power on the table for those in the political system that they don't want to lose it. They want to keep it.
Yeah.
Left and right.
Apparently Obama does not want to lose it, and he's making the same arguments in court that they made. And that includes the failure of Obama to say anything about the Patriot Act.
That's right.
You know, which is due to expire soon. Provisions of it are due to expire very soon. And he has said nothing about letting those provisions expire. He said nothing about repealing the Patriot Act. He said nothing about repealing the Military Commissions Act. He said nothing about repealing provisions of the John Warner Defense Authorization Act of 2007, which has many, many egregious provisions in it. He said nothing about repealing the horrible rewrites of the FISA, of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. I mean, it just goes on and on.
How much is it going to take to stir a public outrage in this country?
I don't think it's going to. I mean, it's certainly not going to come.
Are we that stupid here?
It's not going to come from the major media giving out information.
Oh, of course not.
Because the information they give out is just completely bullcrap.
The dumbing down of a nation.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. So, on and on we go about that sort of thing.
So happy St. Patrick's Day, folks. But
I suggest you go get some green beer and forget about it.
I don't know. I think they're already forgetting about it. We're trying to stir something up. I wouldn't give you a wooden nickel for anything that comes out of any politician's mouth. And I think you might want to take that to heart out there.
Well, there's one or two that I do think are worth listening to. Dennis Kucinich is one.
We don't seem to hear them very much.
You don't hear them because they're shut out by the mainstream media. And the reason they're shut out by the mainstream media is because they don't want you to hear what these people have to say.
The truth. Oh, no, we can't have that.
Now, anybody who's listening who wants to get some more good information, there's a movie that you can watch online. It's called Zeitgeist. That's Zeitgeist. It's one of a number of movies that are out these days that you can watch for free online. Just Google Zeitgeist, Zeitgeist. And
there's also a sequel to that, by the way.
It's called an addendum.
It's
called
Zeitgeist. Thank you, sorry.
Zeitgeist addendum,
which I thought was even more powerful than the original.
Well, and if you watch both of them, it really fills you in.
Yes, it does.
Tremendously. That movie, as I said, is online, and you can watch it for free. It gives you lots of very good background information about all the core subjects that go into understanding what's going on in the world today. It starts with religion.
Yes.
It explains the history of religions and explains where all of the stories and religions come from.
As a matter of fact, look up Jordan Maxwell in that regard.
Right. And it helps by giving you an actual factual account of history way, way back, ancient history.
Yes, it does.
And by learning this stuff, you can learn to free yourself from the
church and state.
That's right. From the organized religion's grasp that they have around the throat of liberty.
I mean, for example, where is the voice of the church in all this? People are being mass murdered a la George Bush in foreign countries, and especially over in the Middle East, and I have yet to hear the voice of the church speak out in opposition. Whatever happened to thou shalt not kill?
Indeed. Well, what happened to it is it got turned on its head. Now it's thou shalt kill anybody you feel like it if it can make you a bunch of money.
And we'll find a way to justify it, yes.
Yes, that's what it's all about now. So I really highly recommend Zeitgeist to anyone who's listening. You go there and find out what is going on with history and in the world. Now, I'm thinking today I might want to start doing something I haven't done yet, and we haven't done yet on our show.
That's true.
Which is take incoming phone calls.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking maybe we'll let somebody call in and see what they have to say. I mean, I'd like to just get an idea of who's listening out there.
To see if we have any few angry ones out there.
Well, I mean, I can...
Anger at the system.
Look, I can accept other people's points of view differing from mine.
Absolutely.
And I want to hear from people. I like hearing from people that think about these things similar to the way I think about them. But I also want to hear from other people who don't think that way, and I want to know why.
That's how we sharpen our edges.
I want to understand what it is they're thinking that doesn't match up with what I see as reality. So the number here is 929 9601. Is that right?
Let me get it. 929601. Yes, it is. 929-9601. 919-929-9601.
So I have my phone ready to go here. If anybody wants to call in, and you'll be live on the air when you call in, you're very welcome to do that. And I'll listen to what you have to say. I might argue with you a little bit. I'm not going to call you any bad names. I might call you some good names, or I might call you some sort of bad names, but no real bad names.
Don't shoot me. He's the piano player.
But if anybody feels like calling in and making a comment, the phone lines are available. So go ahead and do that.
So you're saying they are open at this point?
They're ready to go. All you got to do is dial 929-9601 in the 919 area code.
And please don't call and say, is Mary there?
Yeah, well, you can do that if you want to, but I'll just say no and say,
she's not
sorry,
here.
There's no Mary. I don't know. Well, my daughter's name is Mary, but she's not here.
Yet.
She's not here right now. Let me see. I'm going to look up some other stuff here that I want to talk about. I keep a bunch of shortcuts on my desktop on my computer, and I usually just mark these so that I can refer to them as something occurs to me. I'm a little slow today, so forgive me while I.
The internet is an amazing instrument to look up some of this stuff. So it's not John Paul is only pointing the way toward it. I highly recommend anyone
right.
just
I don't
pursue
want,
this information.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to take my word for anything. I want people to go and find this information on their own. I could be completely wrong about everything, and I probably am wrong about many things, but. What people should be doing is learning this information for themselves. So that's what I want people to do is just look at this stuff. One of the items that I've been following recently is this information that Seymour Hersh came out with recently about assassination squads that were under the direction of Dick Cheney. And I'm looking right now at an email, one of many that have come across my computer that go over some of this information. Reuters put out a report. The reporter was Fadi al-Assad, and I'm just going to read you some of this article that he wrote. It starts like this. At a great conversations event at the University of Minnesota last night, and this was written on March 11th, so I'm assuming it was March 10th, the evening of March 10th. An investigative reporter, Seymour Hersh, may have made a little more news than he intended by talking about new alleged instances of domestic spying by the CIA. And about an ongoing covert military operation that he called an executive assassination ring. Now, I don't know how many people that are listening are know about this, but back in the early 70s, there were some hearings in Congress run by Frank Church. Senator Church held hearings on covert actions by the U.S. government. And one of the things that they discovered in these hearings was that there were assassination squads, that the United States had groups of covert operatives who went out and killed people.
Well, some of this, I think, has been long suspected with the CIA, but you're talking about a different thing altogether.
Well, this was the CIA and others, the DIA, which is the Defense Intelligence Agency, and others, groups that didn't really even have a name. But they were squads that went out and killed people, and they were ordered to do so by elements within the U.S. government. And the Frank Church hearings called people before Congress in these committees, and I followed these hearings very carefully back then. And one of the conclusions that this committee came up with was that the United States has a secret government. A secret government that operates completely out of sight of any oversight committee, of any legitimate government operation, and they go out and kill people. and overthrow governments and yes. do all kinds of things like that. They killed, they were involved in the killing of Allende, who was a popularly elected president. They killed or at least imprisoned the president of Iran in 1953, the leader of Iran. Mm-hmm. And that's what started the whole conflict between the United States and Iran, was that we went over there, intervened in their government, and dislodged their rulers and put our own rulers, the Shah of Iran, in place. And there, then that followed with a 25 or 26-year reign of terror in which this guy killed and maimed and tortured thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Iran, which is what culminated in the 1979 Iranian Revolution, where they took the hostages in the U.S. Embassy during right. Carter's regime, which, by the way, George H.W. Bush went over there and made a deal with them to not release the hostages in order to
bring Reagan
so
in.
That he could get so that Reagan would win the election.
Sure.
And that probably is why Jimmy Carter was not reelected, because George Bush went over there and did a deal with the Iranians to not let the hostages go, and they were doing that in exchange for weapons.
Don't forget they're very close to the Bin Laden family. They've been friends for many years.
They've been friends with the Bin Laden family for decades.
Yes.
They had big dealings with them in oil way back 30 years ago. And they've always been real close to the Bin Ladens.
There's a book out and an audio tape, The House of Bush, The House of Saud.
Yes.
Where you actually see George Bush holding hands with one of the Bin Ladens.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, they've been in business with those people for a very, very long time. So anyway, Hirsch spoke with, this is back to the article, Hirsch spoke with great confidence about these findings from his current reporting, which he hasn't written about yet. In an email exchange afterwards, Hirsch said that his statements were an honest response to a question from the event's moderator, University of Minnesota political scientist Larry Jacobs, and not something I wanted to dwell about in public, said Hirsch. Hirsch didn't take back the statement, which he said arise from reporting he has done for a book, but that it might be a year or two before he has what he needs on the topic to be effective, that is, empirical, for even the most skeptical. The Evening of Great Conversations featured Walter Mondale and Hirsch, moderated by Jacobs, and titled America's Constitutional Crisis. Looked to be a mostly historical review of events that have tested our Constitution by a journalist and a high government officials and high government official who had experience with many of the crises. And it was mostly historical and a great conversation in which Hirsch and Mondale talked about the patterns by which presidents seem to get intoxicated by executive power, frustrated by the limitations on that power from Congress and the public, drawn into improper covert actions that exceed their constitutional powers, in the belief that they can get results and will never be found out. Despite a few references to the founding fathers, the history was mostly recent, starting with the Vietnam War, with much of it arising from the George W. Bush administration, which both men roundly denounced. Now, about the little section we just read, it talked about the founding fathers and their, and I guess people might have gotten that this is about some of these covert activities that those founding fathers did. Most people don't know that back in the very beginning, the founding fathers, the early presidents, actually had covert operations going on under their control. A lot of these were what were called filibusters.
Aha, that's where the term comes from, is it?
Well, I don't know if it's really related to the filibuster we know about, where in the Senate you take over the floor and you won't yield and you won't allow a vote until a 60-vote majority decides to cut off debate. But regardless of whether that's connected or not, what a filibuster was then was a private army that would go and attack some place that the U.S. government wanted to incorporate. They would be they were paid by the United States government. They were mercenaries. They were paid by the United States government to go and attack and conquer these lands that the U.S. government wanted to appropriate. And very few people know about this even to this day, but this is a historical fact. Those of you who are now rolling your eyes and screaming about conspiracy theories, get used to it. This is the truth.
And let's face it, Iraq was a conspiracy theory they sold us on.
Indeed. So this type of activity is not new at all. It was happening from the very beginning. And so it's one of the things that we as Americans have been lied to. In grammar school, they make it look like these guys were all great virtuous people, and they never did anything wrong. Well, sorry,
not so.
It's not so. There were people just like you and me. Everyone has their good and their bad side, and this is the bad side of what happened. And we need to know about it so that we can be realistic when we approach what we face as a country.
Power inevitably seems to corrupt.
And ultimate power
corrupts
ultimately.
Oh, completely.
Yes. All right.
Or absolutely, shall we say. So absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Corrupts absolutely. Now, back to the article. At the end of one answer by Hirsch about how these things tend to happen, Jacobs asks, and do they continue to happen to this day? And this is what Hirsch replied. Yeah, after 9/11, I haven't written about this yet, but the Central Intelligence Agency was very deeply involved in domestic activities against people they thought to be enemies of the state. Now, this is not the article, this is me talking. It's illegal for the CIA to be involved in any domestic activity. It's
very
strictly
true.
Forbidden by law. So this is a crime we're talking about here. What Hirsch is talking about are crimes committed by people in our government.
It's essentially our government determining that we, the people, are criminal, are a criminal element.
And then turning elements of the government against us illegally, exceeding their authority to initiate operations by these government agencies.
Without regard to the Constitution that they are sworn to observe and defend.
Indeed. So now, going on with the article. Without any legal authority for it, Hirsch says, in follow-up on what he's... I'll just start back where I was. Yeah, after 9/11, I haven't written about this yet, but the Central Intelligence Agency was very deeply involved in domestic activities against people that they thought to be enemies of the state. Without any legal authority for it. They haven't been called on it yet. That does happen. Right now, today, there was a story in the New York Times that, if you read it carefully, mentions something known as the Joint Special Operations Command. JSOC, it's called. It is a special wing of our special operations community that is set up independently. They do not report to anybody except in the Bush-Cheney days. They reported directly to Cheney's office. They did not report to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or to Mr. Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense. Excuse me. They reported directly to him, and to him he's referring to Dick Cheney.
Not surprising. To the American version of the Gestapo.
Indeed. Okay, so on with what Hirsch is saying. Congress has no oversight of it. It's an executive assassination ring, essentially. And it's been going on and on. Just today in the Times, there was a story that its leader, a 3-star admiral named William McRaven, ordered a stop to it because there were so many collateral deaths. Under President Bush's authority, they've been going into countries, not talking to the ambassador or the CIA station chief, and finding people on a list and executing them and leaving. That's been going on in the name of all of us. Now, people who are listening to this radio broadcast, think about this. This is being done in your name.
This is the reason we are so despised across the world.
That's right. And this didn't just start with the Bush-Cheney regime, by the way.
No.
This has been going on from the very beginning of the founding of our nation, and it's been we've been lied to about it from the very beginning. And it's time that people woke up and realized the truth and start doing something about it.
It's greatly compounded by the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve is greatly supported by Wall Street. I say, like Reagan said in his famous words, take down this wall, take down Wall Street, well, take down the Federal Reserve. That's my take.
It's all part of the same big...
That's the funding, baby.
...corporate corrupt cabal.
Yes, exactly. That's where the money comes from. That's the reason they can sustain themselves, and they're the ones robbing us now.
They're the ones in control. And you don't get into political office without their support.
No, you don't.
And if you do get into political office, you're very likely to end up dead if you don't go along with what they have to say. And there's very few people
who... There's no way in without them.
There's very few people who've survived this. I'm amazed that Dennis Kucinich is still alive.
Yeah.
He somehow has managed to survive. Paul Wellstone didn't get through it. They killed him. I'm almost certain that it was done... that his airplane was taken down with a directed energy weapon.
I have great suspicions.
In fact, I just yesterday found an article that talks about secret development of directed energy weapons that now they're finally admitting they actually have them.
They do exist.
They
yes.
have these things that they can carry around easily in a van, and they can position their van under the flight approach to an airport and point this thing up in the air, and when a plane flies over the top of it, it kills all the electronics in the plane and the plane crashes.
Hmm.
I'm certain that's what happened to Paul Wellstone. So this is just unbelievable.
So don't they make these aircraft capable of coasting down anymore? Is that not part of the construction? Is it completely energy-related now?
Well, the ones that are controlled by wire don't have any way to control the plane.
Once
the electronics are dead,
you can't sail on wind currents at that point.
You could sail on the wind currents, but you can't control the flaps or the rudder.
I see,
because they're controlled
right,
electronically.
I got you. I understand.
Okay, so once the electronics are gone, you don't have any more control. There's no hard mechanical connection.
Nowhere but down.
Right. So you lose control completely, and you crash. Everybody dies.
The name
okay.
of the game.
All right. Back to Hertz's statement. He says, it's complicated because the guys doing it are not murderers, and yet they are committing what we would normally call murder. It's a very complicated issue because they are young men that went into the special forces, the Delta Forces you've heard about, Navy SEAL teams, highly specialized. Well, I'm going to take issue with that paragraph where he says, it's complicated because the guys doing it are not murderers. They are murderers.
Yes, please.
They're murderers. I'm sorry, Seymour, I don't agree with this. They're murderers. They're killing people extra legally. They should not be doing it. They know what they're doing is illegal. They know it's wrong. They are murderers.
At the very least, the moral compass would dictate that.
And they belong in jail. On with Seymour Hersh's article, or the article about Seymour Hersh. In many cases, they were the best and the brightest, really. No exaggerations. Really fine guys that went in to do the kind of necessary jobs that they think you need to do to protect America. And then they find themselves torturing people. I've had people say to me 5 years ago, I had one say, what do you call it when you interrogate somebody and you leave them bleeding and they don't get any medical committee and 2 days later he dies? Is that murder? What happens if I get before a committee? Well, I'll answer the question.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's murder.
Yes, it's murder.
It's murder.
You caused the injury, you murdered.
It's torture, it's murder. You shouldn't be doing it. Anybody who was out there who was one of these guys that he's talking about, if you're doing this stuff, you're a murderer. Stop it. Back to
Absolutely.
The article. But they're not going to get before a committee, these people. They're not going to get these people before a committee. They're not going to be able to find out even who they are. Hersh, the best-known investigative reporter of his generation, writes about these kinds of issues for The New Yorker. He has written often about JSOC, including last July, that, quote, under the Bush administration's interpretation of the law, clandestine military activities, unlike covert CIA operations, do not need to be depicted in a finding, because the president has a constitutional right to command combat forces in the field without congressional interference. Well, that's baloney. That's complete bullcrap. First, that's not a battlefield. A battlefield is where soldiers face one another. This is not a battlefield. Moving on. Finding refers to a special document that a president must issue, although not make public, to authorize covert CIA operations. Here is a tape of the full Mondale Hirsch Jacobs colloquy, a little over an hour, without the audience Q&A. If you want to look for the Hirsch statement quoted above, it's about at the 7 minute and 30 second mark. So this is the article. There is a link, but it's not actually in this article. But I'm sure if you Google this piece, which is by Eric Black, published Wednesday, March 11th, you will find the information you need to access this stuff. And in fact, I'm going to look at the see if I can go to the link.
Speaking
right now.
Speaking of March 11th, that was my birthday.
Tell you if it works. I'm looking at the link, seeing if it works.
It's amazing what happened on March 11th these days. It's almost like that's a time frame for something, and I was born in it.
How about that? That's right. So I'm opening up this. My
Where are you? You're on the internet presently.
A little slow, yeah. I'm trying.
Are you Googling?
Trying to open up the page that I was referring to. Let me see what it comes up with. Minipost. Okay, yeah, there is a page. It's at minipost.com. So anybody who wants to go there, go to minipost.com and look for Eric Black, Inc. And the investigative reporter, Seymour Hirsch, describes executive assassination ring.
And this still goes on as we speak, obviously.
Yeah, it's going on right now. Yeah, and there's no indication that Obama has stopped it. It's a sad situation.
I'm not under the impression that he's going to take much off the table that would diminish political powers.
No, probably not. Okay, so now the rest of the evening was, as expected, full of worry and wisdom and quite a bit of Bush bashing, which is well deserved, I might say.
No doubt.
Further on in the article, Jacobs walked the two elder statesmen through their experiences of the My Lai massacre, which Hirsch first revealed publicly, and which he last night called the end of innocence about us and war. I don't know if people remember the My Lai massacre. That was in Vietnam.
I do.
And Seymour Hirsch is the guy who exposed that. So he goes way back with telling the truth about what's really going on. The Pentagon Papers case, which Mondale called the best example of the government's potential for vast public deception, is another involvement, which I think Hirsch wrote about that back then. Remember, the Pentagon Papers were read by the senator from Alaska, Mike Gravel,
yes.
On the Senate floor. He was a real groundbreaker, and he was a candidate for president that the press just skewered and tried to make look silly. But in fact, Mike Gravel was the only other guy besides Dennis Kucinich who I really felt deserved a chance to be president. but of course, the fact that he was telling the truth made it impossible for him to get past the media.
Corporatocracy didn't like
that.
And the
Democratic Party, of course, shut him out of all the debates and shut Kucinich out of all the debates because they were telling the truth. And the corporatocracy just cannot allow that.
They can't afford all the things they'd have to come clean about.
Well, they'd be in jail if they really got prosecuted for the stuff that they've done. Now, this is back to the article. Henry Kissinger's secret dealings, mostly relating to the Vietnam War. Hirsch, who has written volumes about Kissinger, said that he will always believe that whereas ordinary people count sheep to fall asleep, Kissinger has to count burned and maimed Cambodian babies.
Good Lord.
Yes. The Church Committee investigation of the CIA and FBI, which I talked about a little bit ago, about their abuses, in which Mondale played a major role. He talked about the fact that FBI Director Hoover not only spied on Martin Luther King, but literally tried to drive him to suicide. The Iran-Contra scandal, Hearst said that the Reagan administration came to office with a clear goal of finding a way to finance covert actions such as the funding of the Nicaraguan Contras without appropriations so that Congress wouldn't know about them. Well, the U.S. government is not allowed to do anything without the approval of Congress. No money can be expended without the approval of Congress. Congress directs all spending.
The problem is we don't have a Congress.
Well, and when we do, they go along with this
stuff.
So they're not performing their duties. All right? So on with where we were, Mondale noted that Reagan had signed a law barring further aid to the Contras, then participated in a scheme to keep the aid flowing. Hearst said that two key veterans of Iran-Contra, Dick Cheney and National Security official Elliot Abrams, were reunited in the George W. Bush White House and decided that the key lesson from Iran-Contra was that too many people in the administration knew about it. That's what they learned from the Iran-Contra affair, was that too many people knew the truth.
Yeah, right.
Okay? that's how they approach things. And the Bush-Cheney years, said Hirsch, the contempt for Congress in the Bush-Cheney White House was extraordinary, said Mondale of his successor. Cheney and his inner circle, they ran a government within a government, Hirsch added. 8 or 9 neoconservatives took over the country. Mondale said that the precedent of abuse of vice presidential power by Cheney would remain like a loaded pistol that you leave on the dining room table. Jacobs, and I don't trust, by the way, Joe Biden with that pistol.
I'm not sure I do either.
I don't trust Joe Biden an inch. Jacobs pressed both men on the question of whether the frequent abuse of power shows that the Constitution fails because these things keep happening, or whether it works because these things keep coming to light. Well, I say it shows neither. It has nothing to do with whether the Constitution succeeds or fails.
It's not being observed.
It's about the people who are in office. It has nothing to do with the document. Hirsch seemed more troubled by the repetitions of the pattern. The beautiful thing about our system is that eventually we get new leaders, he said. The evil twosome, Cheney and Bush, left, Hirsch said. But he also said, it's really amazing to me that we managed to get such bad leadership so consistently. Yeah. And what I'm saying is that these people can't get into that position unless they're predisposed to do these kinds of things. Because they can't get that far without the support of the people who are pulling the strings behind the scenes.
The money people.
The corporate elite. The very top, tiny, teeny tiny, small fraction of percentage of people who are really behind all of this stuff. And they are people like David Rockefeller. Okay? Now, I've got another thing here I'm going to look up and try to play real quickly. I hope I can find it shortly. This is a clip that is from the movie by a guy by the name of Rousseau.
Ah.
Aaron Rousseau, who produced this movie that goes back and looks at what really has been going on for a long time with finances in our country, in our world. And he explains how this stuff is done. And I'm trying to find the folder. I've got this in. It'll take me just a second. And we're going to play this to go out because it gives you a really good look at what's really going on. This is Aaron Rousseau, who met Nicholas Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
And he was introduced to him by a mutual friend. And sorry, it started before I was really ready to go with it. Hold on just a second. I'm going to plug it up. Whoop.
The computer age is coming undone here in the studio.
Yeah.
What happened? You got disconnected, unplugged. This is John Paul, unplugged.
Yes, this is John Paul, unplugged. I forgot to plug it in.
Details.
So I think we're ready now. Let me play this, and we're going to go out with this. Here it goes.
An attorney woman I knew, and she said, "Would you like to meet one of the Rockefellers?" I said, "Sure, I'd love to." And we became friends, and he began to divulge a lot of things to me. So he said to me one night, he said that there's going to be an event there, and out of that event, you're going to see we're going to go into Afghanistan. So we run pipelines from the Caspian Sea. We're going to go into Iraq to take the oil and establish a base in the Middle East. And we're going to go into Venezuela and try and get rid of Chavez. And the first two they've accomplished, Chavez they didn't accomplish. And I said, you're going to see guys going into caves looking for looking for people that they're never going to find. You know, he was laughing about the fact that you have this war on terror. There's no real enemy. He's talking about how by having this war on terror, you can never win it, because it's an eternal war, and so you can always keep taking people's liberties away. And I said, how are you going to convince people that this war is real? He said, but the media. The media can convince everybody it's real. I mean, you know, just that you keep talking about things, you keep saying it over and over and over again, and eventually people believe it. You know, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11, which is another lie. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie, and now they're going to do Iran, you know? And so one thing leading to another, leading to another, leading to another. Now, I would say, what are you doing this for? What's the point of this thing? You have all the money in the world you ever want. You have all the power. I said, you know, you're hurting people. It's not a good thing. And he would say, what do you care about the people for? Take care of yourself and take care of your family. And then I said to him, what are the ultimate goals here? So the ultimate goal is to get everybody in this world chipped with a chip, with an RFID chip, and have all money be on those chips and everything on those chips. And if anybody wants to protest what we do or violate what we want, we just turn off that chip.